Sufferings, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is here to help you better secure your Bitcoin, to make it easier for you to buy Bitcoin, and to offer you financial services on top of your Bitcoin. Everything at Unchained revolves around 2 or 3 multi-sig collaborative custody. They have an IRA product, which historically has had a fee associated with it, but they ran a campaign earlier this year. It was massively successful, and they've officially dropped their fee to 21 cents. So if you want to transition your IRA from a traditional IRA into Bitcoin, you can do so very easily via Unchained and very cheaply, 21 cents. Go check it out. Go to unchained.com and use the code RHR at checkout for any of their services, whether that's concierge, onboarding, or anything else that they're offering, and you'll get $50 off that service or product. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best hardware in the Bitcoin space. If you're watching the video, you can see this nice, beautiful block clock behind me, but they also have the Cold Card Mark IV, which is a hardware device. It's got 2 secure elements. It's the best way to create private public key pairs in an air-gapped way offline. They also have the Cold Card Q. Update on the Cold Card Q. Comes in many different colors, so you don't just need the plain plastic see-through. They've got many different colors now. They also have a new reseller. What would we call this? A product or a program that if you want to resell Cold Cards, they've really streamlined that process. So go to CoinKite.com. Check out all their products, whether it's a block clock, a Cold Card, a Q, Sats Card, Tap Signer. They've got it all. CoinKite.com. Still don't know if we have a promo code there. Try RHR. Try it and see what you get off. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. Stackwork is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI. If you've listened to us discuss Simple Proof and Digital Witness and how they secured the Guatemalan election on the show, Stackwork and their distributed cloud sourcing workforce helped secure that Guatemalan election. Right now, they're looking for mobile developers. So if you are looking for a job in the Bitcoin space that is not only at the cutting edge of Bitcoin, but also AI, hit up Stackwork, go to their careers page, find it. They're looking for Swift and Kotlin mobile devs right now. So if you're a Swift or a Kotlin developer looking for a job in the space, looking to be on the cutting edge, go hit up Stackwork. And you can go to their website at Stackwork. That's STAKWORK.AI. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Ooh, doggy. We got playing backgrounds this week. Both traveling. Good to see you in a closet again, sir. Metadata's back in the closet.
The poor man's Mallers background.
I mean, mine's not much better. I think there's a ball.
Yeah, but yours is just a straight white background, so people can use their imagination. You could be anywhere.
It could be.
I like the straight white background power play.
It is a power play. Welcome, freaks, as you can tell.
To our many podcast freaks, they just don't even give a shit, so.
No. We are both traveling. I am in the great city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love for a family wedding. Landed about 2 hours ago. Booked it straight to my cousin's place in Center City, Philly. It's a beautiful day in Philly right now. We don't get these fall days in Austin, Texas.
Freaks, we know Marty's microphone sucks.
It's all me.
We've been troubleshooting for the last half an hour, and it's way better than where we started. So you're welcome.
Welcome. Pulling up stuff, pulling up links, pulling up the chat. RHR.TV.
Did you watch the documentary?
I did not. While the documentary was airing, I was out to dinner with a solid group of Bitcoiners who will not be named in Austin. We had a nice steak dinner, great conversation. And I think it was a better way to spend your time than watching some HBO propaganda.
I, first of all, to Weirdo Robot in the comments, we did not coordinate hats, but I did make that hat for Marty and he chose to wear it today. So
did. Only hat I brought on this trip. I left my house at 6:15 this morning and this hat was right next to my bed. I just threw it on.
The story behind the hat is Jonathan made the original 1031 camo hats, but I didn't think the logo was large enough. So then I made the big logo version, but I only made, there's only two of them right now. Marty has one and I have one. So the Bitcoin doc, that's great that you had a great dinner. I actually thought it was pretty decent. Like they, besides like the calling Peter Todd Satoshi at the end and the clickbaitness of all the hype or whatever, it was an hour and a half. The first hour and 15 minutes, like, did a decent job of explaining Bitcoin and explaining the movement. It was mostly like a Samson Jan 3 Blockstream ad. Like the whole thing was just like a really high produced Blockstream advertisement is kind of my take from it. And it seems like Samson was the one who like coordinated everything and like roped in Adam and roped in Adam and Peter. I mean, look, it was definitely very sensationalist. But also at the same time, like, when do you get to see like your friends in a sensationalist documentary? So, me and the fam, we made our exception for screen time for our son and we watched the documentary together. And like I said, I think they did like a decent job of explaining like why Bitcoin matters, like how blockchains work, how the Bitcoin blockchain, like what the game theory and the trust model is. But at the end of the day, like the whole point of Bitcoin is who Satoshi is doesn't matter. I don't think it's Peter. Peter himself has denied it. But like, once again, like knowing Peter and Adam decently well, it was pretty funny watching like the documentarians gotcha at the end. Like, what do they expect? They recorded like 10 hours, 15 hours with this documentarian. And then like the very end, he just like hits Peter with like, I figured it out. You're Satoshi. And you know, he's like nervously going back and forth. Like there, it was kind of funny. It was pretty funny.
That was the one clip. Go on. That was the one clip I've seen is Peter being like, the Bitcoiners are going to get a good chuckle out of this when you claim on Satoshi.
Yeah, that was literally his response, which I did laugh when you said that. Also, what was really funny is like one of the pieces of evidence is that Satoshi must have been young because in one of his emails to Marty, he used the word retarded, which I just thought that was funny. But yeah.
Well, this
is probably the most watched Bitcoin documentary of all time, and it could have been a lot worse.
I was looking for the tweet. I believe Jeremy, who used to be a producer for Peter at What Bitcoin Did, I think that was the tweet I saw. I was like, all right, I don't have to watch this because it's going to be a rehash of things that I already know. I probably will watch it at some point, but it was basically like all the buzz around the documentary right now is who Satoshi is, but really it's a like Trojan horse way to educate the masses about Bitcoin. And they did a pretty good job about that from what I understand.
Yeah. I mean, like there was a good, like 25 minutes of Bitcoin education, like Bitcoin 101 education. And then it was like about an hour of Blockstream advertisement and Jan 3 advertisement. And then like 15 minutes of a Satoshi reveal. You know, like most, like a lot of the documentary was just like him following Samson around on like private jets, trying to like convince small countries to adopt Bitcoin. So That was a lot of the documentary. But they like went over the block size wars. Like they did a pretty good job on the block size war. They interviewed Roger, and then like later in the episode, they were like, actually, Roger's in jail now. So they got the interview before that happened. And they must have been working on it for like two years or something like that, because they had clips from Miami 2022 there.
Yeah, this actually brings up, because whether, I mean, obviously the documentary is trying to say that Peter Satoshi, and I think this gets to like a good opportunity to really dive into steel manning this, like whether it's Peter or Parker and I were talking about this in the commons earlier this week, particularly Tucker Carlson, who thinks the CIA is behind Bitcoin. Tucker thinks the CIA created Bitcoin. Then we were just walking through the dog experiments. Like, all right, let's run with the assumption, whether it's the CIA or Peter. Let's run with the assumption that we believe that we know who Satoshi is. It could be the CIA, it could be Peter Todd, it could be a number of other individuals, a group of individuals.
Yeah.
Like, how do you steel man it? Like, even if we do know who Satoshi is, does that invalidate Bitcoin in the long run?
No, of course not, because Satoshi doesn't have any control over the project. Now, what is meaningful to people that hold Bitcoin in the short term is if Satoshi is alive and still has 1 million Bitcoin and can sell on market, then you could have significant short term price volatility. If that Bitcoin moved at all, it would greatly spook the market. I will say, if Peter Todd were Satoshi, I'd be even more confident that those 1 million Bitcoin are no longer accessible. The documentary was funny. There was one part where he tries to get Nick Szabo in the documentary, and Nick Szabo's like, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to come on. He's like, you can email me, but I'm not going to answer. Smart man. Obviously, Greg Maxwell didn't go in the documentary. And I love Adam Back. Like, he is just like, he's got this like attitude around him the whole time. Like, it's Peter and Adam, and they're just like in this, derelict train station or some shit. And he's like, Peter, this is why you're Satoshi. And he's like explaining to him why he's Satoshi. And Adam's in the background just straight facing the whole time, just like in classic Adam straight face mark.
Adam is one of the most humble people. I had the pleasure of sharing a cab to the Riga airport this year after Baltic Honey Badger. We stayed at the same hotel, and I walk out to go to the airport, and he's waiting. My Bolt, the equivalent of Uber over in Riga, showed up first. I was like, just hop in with me. And I was just pinging him with questions about like potential protocol updates and what he thinks about everything. And he's just the easiest, most approachable, humble dude, considering everything he's done in the space, whether it be with Hashcash or the work at Blockstream and the conversation we had with him on Rabbit Hole Recap in Riga. Like, it's just very approachable, very humble. We're very lucky to have him.
Yeah, Adam's a legend. He was the best part of the entire the documentary. Is worth watching just for Adam.
Proof of Cringe. I did see that clip too. It was the second clip I saw.
What was Proof of Cringe?
They were looking at like an Ethereum conference video or something.
They showed the shark rap thing. Remember when they did like the merge rap? They showed that. That was pretty fun. And then they showed like Adam's reaction to it as well. It was a fine doc.
I'll probably watch it at some point. I'm not going to rush it down.
I don't think Peter Satoshi.
No, but again, going back to like the Steel Man, if you were to figure out who Satoshi was, I think the biggest risk to, I don't even think it's to the protocol, but to Bitcoin, would be the potential fear of a liquidity dump of Satoshi selling off his coins. But I think that is the extent of the risk that exists, because at the end of the day, Bitcoin's open source. It is a distributed open source project, and we're 13 years past when Satoshi left the project at this point, and there's not a lot of influence, I think he or she or they would be able to have over the protocol if they were to come back. And anybody can audit, test the code, run the code.
I mean, I just don't think many changes, if any changes, significant changes are going to happen to Bitcoin, period, regardless of Satoshi quote unquote came back or never left, if it's like the Peter or an Adam or Greg Maxwell or a combination of the three. So like it just doesn't really matter, but it's a mystery that people are very obsessed with. They're always obsessed with, and they're going to continue to be obsessed with, because it's such a unique story in like the history of humanity that this person just walked away from such a significant project, and was willing to cut their ego and not be the benevolent dictator of it. I also like they're like one of the main pieces of evidence that they used was, I guess Peter joined Bitcoin Talk like a week before Satoshi left Bitcoin Talk, and made like two comments. And like one comment was like, I need to buy like $2 worth of Bitcoin. And then the other comment was what the documentarian was like, oh, he was just like finishing Satoshi's thought, like he was accidentally signed into his account. I mean, two pieces on that. First of all, according to Greg Maxwell, at that point, Peter Todd wasn't using his legal name on his account. It was like a NIM, some little NIM. It started with an R, like RET something. And then he like changed it to his legal name like 3 years later, which if you like made a slip up, like who the fuck would do that? And then second of all, like it's completely on brand with Peter to join Bitcoin Talk, reply guy Satoshi with like a well actually correction, and then leave the project for 3 years and not pay attention to it. Like that is like the most on brand Peter move ever. So yeah, it was RETEP, RETEP, Peter spelled backwards.
What was I going to say? Yeah. I mean, that comment was about, it wasn't even like, well, it was a well, actually though. It was like, well, actually like you would also.
It was 100% well, actually. He was like, oh, well, the inputs and the outputs aren't the same because there's the change output. And then he just leaves the project for 3 years. Like that would be the most Peter Todd thing ever to do. It's completely on brand.
Yeah, the
like 22-year-old Peter or whatever, just like being like, oh, well, I'm just going to reply guy Satoshi and then not pay attention to the project.
Yeah. I mean, I've told this story on this podcast, I think two or three times now at this point, but the first time I ever went to BitDevs in New York in 2015, it was at Union Square Ventures across from the large clock in Union Square. It was like an atomic clock. It was 7:30 at night. And at that point in 2015, I think the national debt was around 19 trillion. And I was wearing like a blazer and slacks and loafers, like thinking I needed to dress up to go to BitDevs. And I was so nervous. And I saw all these people that I only known on Twitter, Peter Todd being one of them. And I recognized Peter Todd from his avatar. And I walk up to him and I'm like, oh, how prescient. We're here talking about Bitcoin. And we've got a national debt clock right across the way. And he looked at me like stone cold, was like, that's a time clock. I was like, oh God, I'm gonna go sit down.
Yeah, I love that Peter story. I mean, Peter's great too. I'm grateful he's a contributor to Bitcoin. I'm particularly very grateful for Replaced by Fee, which is like they made out in the documentary to be like this kind of evil conspiracy. Like Satoshi coming back to complete his project. And they like, the other great thing was, you know how like every documentary has to have like the positive side and the negative side. Mm-hmm. The positive side was obviously like following Samson around and talking to Adam and Peter and, Amir Taki was in it, which was great. Which I haven't like heard from him at length in a long time. So it was kind of cool to see his perspective after all these years. Obviously he's quite critical of the lack of privacy guarantees on Bitcoin and the corporatization of Bitcoin. But the main negative side was just like literally Rubini the whole time, Nouriel Roubini. It just kept going back to him in like his penthouse.
Was he in a hot tub with a bunch of undergrads or?
Oh, they've called that out in the documentary that like he goes 10 to 1 girls to guys at his parties or whatever. Like they brought that up. But he was like a main character in it. So I thought that was good. There appears to be some kind of zap war going on in our comments. And I just want to thank the freaks for supporting us. I see that we have 111,000 sats from Mav 21, 43,000 sats from Average Gary, and 10,000 sats from Rob Hamilton. So thank you guys. Oh, and Easy from Noble Ship Bitcoin just zapped us another 10,000 sats. So thank you guys.
Oh, I can't see this. I gotta make this tab play. Maybe I'm
yeah. Behind. I feel like talking about this documentary. They're just having a zap war. So I appreciate you, freaks. It means a lot, especially as
appreciate you.
Go on.
And special special shout outs since you're involved in a zap war right now, Gary. I had the pleasure of sitting down and recording with Guy Swan yesterday to talk about everything going on in North Carolina and the response. And apparently Gary and the crew of Bitcoin Veterans have been really instrumental in actually getting boots on the ground and getting communication lines set up and all that. So Gary, shout out to you, brother, and everybody else, the Bitcoin Veterans.
So I linked it in the show notes, but we might, if you brought it up, it's a very important topic. We might as well talk about it. Yeah, I'm incredibly proud of the Bitcoin Veterans guys. They're on the ground right now, delivering much needed help. And not just they're bringing supplies, but they're also doing a lot of communications work between like Starlink and Meshtastic and stuff like that. And they're collecting donations. So the link to their Zaprite donation page is in the show notes. You can donate dollars or Bitcoin. I mean, obviously I think Bitcoin is ideal for this situation. You know, to me, this is something that I've talked about a lot in the past, like this idea of, Bitcoin QRT teams, like quick reaction teams that just like go out and whether it's like a protest or whether it's an emergency environment, like we just have like people on the ground that just mobilize and that are supported by the global Bitcoin movement. And I feel like this is the first time we've really seen it in practice. We like kind of saw it during the trucker situation. But these guys are doing really, really great work. And it's been pretty cool to witness.
I'm going to put you on the spot, but I think you'll agree. I say we send all the zaps back to Gary to help their efforts on the ground there. After well, this episode.
I already donated more than these zaps, but you're welcome to send your.
I did too. But I think, I don't know, the conversation I had with Guy yesterday is very moving. I mean, it is very intense what's going on there. And obviously Guy's in North Carolinian. He's in Raleigh, Durham area. So wasn't in the direct path of Helene, but has a very emotional connection with that part of the country. And that's really what we dove into. It's like, it's a very dark time for everybody in Appalachia, whether you're North Carolina, Georgia, East Tennessee, South Carolina, some parts of it. But I think silver lining, trying to find the lightness in the dark, like the ability of individuals to come together and actually help each other out, Bitcoin Veterans being a shining example of that during this time, is something that people shouldn't take for granted. I mean, I think that's, we talk a lot about the government and their intentions and the incentive system that's set up there. And obviously many people believe that the government has come up short in response to Hurricane Helene and the efforts to help the people who have been affected by that. And I think it's really important to highlight that individuals have really taken agency and taken action to help each other out. And despite what the mainstream media or the divisive rhetoric that comes out from some politician's mouth in terms of saying like, you need us to help you out, you need us to tell you what's going on. I think very like silver lining of the last 2 weeks, which has been horrendous for people in this part of the country, is that it's really shown that at the end of the day, humanity is filled with good people who will come to action and help each other out and pick each other up from their bootstraps. And that was like, we went in depth into the Meshtastic stuff and the communications. Like, that is what people need desperately. And That's the way Guy described it. Is like you get punched in the head and you think about setting up these mesh networks, and it's not until you really need it where it's like, oh shit, like I really need that. And the fact that this part of the country really needs that, and the Bitcoin veterans were able to get into action and get a mesh network set up so people can communicate pretty quickly is extremely admirable. And again, a silver lining that should be taken out of this terrible situation.
They're like setting up LZs and shit and like loading up Chinooks with hay to feed cattle. God, the level of sophistication is impressive. And in a relatively time frame. It's just neighbors have roads. No one's going to come save us. We have to take care of ourselves. It's another example, you know, that preparation does help significantly in these situations. Everything becomes much more difficult when you get punched in the face and you're trying to react from that point of view.
Yeah. So shout out to everybody on the ground there. Shout out to Guy, shout out to Bitcoin veterans, and the relief efforts in that part of the country are certainly not over. It's going to take quite a bit of time to get Appalachia back on their feet, but luckily we have good people out there doing hard and good work, despite the fact that the government has not stepped up. And with that being said, let's dive into the list further. But before we do that, let's get to Clark's dashboard. If you took our advice 2 weeks ago, which was never short Bitcoin, and you went long, you'd be down a good amount of money right now. The current price of Bitcoin is 59,340 cuck bucks.
Well, you're not down. Gonna get you.
If you didn't sell, hopefully you didn't go 100x lever long. You kept it at a humble 5x.
Maybe stay humble 5x, that's no leverage, Marty.
One cuck buck's going to get you 1,685 sats. We are at a $1.17 trillion market cap. We're at block height 865,069. Nice. We did have a difficulty adjustment between last week and this week's episode. It was an upwards adjustment of 4.1%. Blocks came in at 9 minutes and 37 seconds on average. During that difficulty epoch, we are currently 1,811 blocks away from the next adjustment, estimated to be on October 22nd, so 12 days from now. So we're only two days into this epoch. And as of right now, it's looking like a downwards adjustment of negative 4.3%. And as we know, it's early, so take that with a grain of salt. There are currently 180,950 transactions in Clark's mempool. We go over to mempool.space.
Marty, is this a dump or?
Officially, not yet, I don't think.
Okay, continue.
We're only 19.6% below the previous all-time high of 73,000. So no, not yet. October. Not this year. It's not October this year, freaks. Wiz's mempool showing 206,813 transactions. Pretty cheap transactions right now. Low priority, 8 sats per V-byte. Medium, 9. High priority, next block, 10 sats per V-byte for making transactions.
2 sats per byte were clearing a few days ago. And Catan climbed out of his Noster hole and posted it first time in Noster in a month to troll me. And then immediately just bunch of transactions got broadcast.
Yeah. Oh, this reminds me of something I wanted to say. Earlier was a controversial, disagree with you in terms of there not being any major upgrades. Like I've been talking to a lot of people. There is enough pressure to get covenants, whether it's CTV, OpCat, people are talking about it.
Did you read Satoshi's paper on them?
No.
A review of them. I didn't read it though.
I've not read it yet, but I've been talking to the ARC people. A lot of people working on the ARC protocol, and I mean, if there is a catalyst to get covenants merge into Bitcoin. I think it may be ARK because it does have scaling limitations. I think we talked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. But if ARK finds somewhat of a product market fit and highlights that you can combine ARK and the Lightning Network to make channel management much more economically efficient and improve the UX of Lightning, I think that could be a catalyst that convinces people to introduce covenants, whether it's, again, OpsCTV or CAD or something else.
What do you, how do you think activation looks?
That's another question. We've been debating for years. But
I mean, that's the question. Yeah. Everything else is just a circle jerk without that question.
Well, no, I think there's two layers of the question. I mean, I think that's the second part of the question. The first part of the question is like, which covenants proposal actually gets merged? Like, what are the trade-offs that people are comfortable with? And what is actually minimally necessary to make it so that ARC can scale and improve the Lightning Network and have this positive feedback loop? Those two protocols interacting with each other.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just don't think I don't think it's gonna happen, but we'll see.
I'm gonna take the other side of that bet. We don't have to come to terms on the bet yet. We have time to think about it, but
I think we have plenty of time. I think we have plenty of time to think about it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. So we'll think about it. All right. Up next, I was not aware of this until you sent the list. But Firefox and Tor browsers have a vulnerability. You're supposed to update those browsers immediately. Oh, yeah. Even though Matt said I couldn't update my Firefox browser before this.
We spent a half an hour troubleshooting your mic. I didn't want you to break the fucking browser after all of that troubleshooting, which I think is completely reasonable. But yeah, there's a remote execution vulnerability that has been used in the wild on Firefox. So if you use Firefox or any derivatives, which includes Tor browser, you should update ASAP. I don't know if Firefox has shipped an update yet. I know Tor has. And if you use Tails, Tor has also shipped a Tails update that includes the Tor browser update. So update immediately. This seems like a pretty bad one. And like I said, it's been used in the wild.
They don't have details. Is this one of those bugs that they're going to responsibly disclose down the line?
If you click the Firefox link, they say that there was a remote. They like give light details.
I got it. An attacker was able to achieve code execution in the content process by exploiting a use after free in animation timelines. We have had reports of this vulnerability being exploited in the wild. Impact critical. Okay.
And so also, by the way, Mulvad browser, if you're using Mulvad browser, which is basically Tor browser without the Tor component, you need to update that as well. And also, Marty skipped over, I put this on the top of the list because there's corrections from last week. I mistakenly said that Stratum V2, which is attempting to solve a lot of the similar things that Datum is trying to solve with Ocean, including encrypted connections with your pool so that you don't get man in the middle, and miners actually constructing the blocks themselves and choosing what transactions are included in the block rather than the mining pools, doesn't have the capability of working with old ASICs and is not backwards compatible with Stratum V1 ASICs. I was incorrect. They do have a Stratum V2 proxy that works similar to Datum, like the Datum proxy, where you can run that on your local network and you can connect your miners to that and then connect to the pool. And then the other thing that I was mistaken about is we were talking about Nunchuck in Nunchuck's recent release. And I said that Nunchuck was a mobile wallet that allows you to easily coordinate multisigs. They also have a desktop client. So those are my two corrections from last week.
It's important to hold ourselves accountable with these corrections. Who yelled at you?
I wasn't yelled at. I was just made aware of my mistakes.
Okay.
Two different people, one from the Stratum project and one potentially from the Nunchuck project.
All right. It's good to know.
On the nunchuck side, I did see a post from Hugo on Noster, where he kind of sounded like he listened to the episode, but I don't know if he listened to the episode or not, where he said, like, I don't understand why people are so against using mobile-based multi-sig coordinators when for the overwhelming majority of people, it's relatively accepted that a mobile environment is actually more secure than a desktop environment, because a desktop environment is more powerful. So it tends for the average person to have a larger attack surface than a more locked down mobile environment. And I mean, that is completely true. When I personally say that I have misgivings using mobile-based multi-sig coordinators, which I think I said last week that I actually assume that the overwhelming majority of people will. Like, most people probably won't use most people just won't use desktops going forward. Most already don't. Most people's main computer is their phone or their iPad or something. Is like, I just like the interface better. Like, I like if I'm interacting with a multi-sig savings account effectively, right? Like a multi-sig savings. Like I like using like a keyboard and a mouse and a big screen. I'm more comfortable in that environment personally. So like, I haven't really tested at length any kind of mobile coordinators for that reason.
I've tested Nunchuck with the tap signer. Like, I've done a 2 of 2 multi-sig, 2 tap signers on
Nunchuck.
I know, just as a test. Just as a test.
It's like, if you fuck up one of them, you lost your funds.
Yeah, but I agree. I think, especially like if you have a laptop and you have multiple screens, and if you're on mobile and you're like flipping up to like copy paste and moving from app to app, it's a lot more stressful. And
it's like on a little screen, you know. I've tested out Nunchuck. I'm the first to admit I haven't used it in a while. But I've done hours and hours and hours on Sparrow. Like, I'm just incredibly comfortable with it.
Yeah. It's, I've said this before, but when it comes to like the cold card queue, doing PSBTs with QR, I know it's not your preferred UX, but it just works.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, but okay.
I mean, I've used it. That's.
I mean, what about exporting the pub keys, like the wallet config file or whatever?
You can do that through QR.
Yeah, but you're like, hold your hand gets so fucking tired holding in front of the camera. No. The animated QR code.
You need to get your wrist strength up, bro. It's not that bad.
It takes your fucking effort. Did you do it that way, or did you use the SD card to set it up?
No, the SD, we talked about this, not on air, but in person. I hate the SD card UX flow, especially for like new MacBooks. It doesn't have like a native micro SD or SD port anymore. You have to buy like an extension.
Get a fucking USB.
It's still not fun. There's something like very Mission Impossible like with it, which is like you're like moving it. It's, I don't know. I like the digital virtual. I don't believe
you actually set up the wallet with QR codes, because it took like a half an hour. Like, if the scanner takes forever. Okay.
Whatever. You better believe it. I uploaded the firmware with an SD card because you have to, and that was the last time I used it.
Okay.
Well, it's the only time I use the SD card.
You can't do firmware with QR code, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, see, look, I got MAV21 in here. Like, I don't appreciate your gaslighting. MAV21 said he did that one time with the QR code trying to set up the wallet, and was like on 60% forever, like trying to hang it over the fucking webcam. You don't know where it's aiming and you have no idea what's going on. It works better on mobile. On mobile, you can do the back camera, so you can rest the thing on the ground and or on the table and aim at it. But on desktop,
sounds like we got a couple of weak-wristed people. One on the other side of me, one in the comments.
I'm gonna log that comment in the back of my head, and I'm gonna hold it against you for a little bit. When you're not expecting it, I'm gonna get my revenge.
Never a good position to be in, freaks. Yeah. All right. Next up on the list, Bitcoin Core version 28.0 has been released with testnet 4, full RBF by default, and more. Big week for Peter Todd. He's Satoshi, and full RBF support gets merged into Bitcoin Core. So I guess this is out testing. This is live now.
The funniest. I guess it's public because Peter made it public, so I feel comfortable talking about it. OpenSats actually rejected two of his applications. So I was like, as we were watching, I turned to my wife. I was like, "Honey, we may have rejected Satoshi twice."
That's how you know he has no influence. He can't even get a fucking grant.
Sorry, Peter.
Satoshi comes back. Please, sir, can I have a grant? Yeah, you're gone. Other updates in Bitcoin Core version 28.0, testnet 4. That's a big one. We've been talking about that. Opportunistic one pair, one child package relay. This is pretty big. I know Glorious Owl's been working on this. And so this will allow transactions with low fee rates that can be paired with child transactions submitted as a package, allowing nodes to download one parent, one child packages via transaction relay protocol. So that's going to be big for basically bandwidth and data usage for people transacting. That's a big efficiency gain there. Default relay of pay to anchor transactions. And assume UTXO, this is pretty big. Hit the lead here, one of the leads. Assume UTXO is available on mainnet now too. So that I won't call it a project, but it is something that James O'Byrne's been working on for a while. Assume UTXO, if fully implemented, would make it so initial block download happens much quicker. You can not download the full blockchain, but I believe download the headers using some checkpoints that are agreed upon via multiple signatures at different points in the chain's history, and then allow you to have like basically not a fully validated node, but a full node up and running so that you can receive and send transactions using that node that will fully validate in the background. And so that's good to see that Assume UTXO is moving forward as well. And then I'm not going to make my age-old mistake of reading all the release notes. You can find them in the show notes if you want to read them yourself.
I mean, you said they buried the lead, but No Bullshit Bitcoin put Assume UTXO in like the second bullet point. Scroll up.
Oh, in the bullet point. I thought you meant the title.
In the summary. Yeah, I mean, the Bitcoin Core maintainers buried the lead, but not No Bullshit Bitcoin. One of the cool things here was this release was also natively posted to Nostr, which is the first major release for that to happen. And I mean, everyone should verify releases when they come out. And historically, the best way to do that was PGP. But with Nostr, it can be incredibly easy to verify client side without managing PGP keys. You just need your Nostr social graph to do the verification for you. Well, you verify that they have signed it, essentially, but your clients can do that verification for you, which is awesome.
Yeah. McCoy is asking in the Zap.stream chat if we could explain orphans. Does he mean orphan blocks or?
What is orphan? I didn't see them any relation to orphans in the relay notes, but an orphan block is when two miners find a block around the same time and one gets built on top of and the other doesn't.
And the one that doesn't is the orphan.
And then if you're not talking about Bitcoin, an orphan is when a kid loses both of his parents.
Bruce Wayne, probably the most famous orphan of them all.
To all those freaks that use Android, like you gotta check Zap.store out if you haven't. Just on that idea of Nostr signed binaries, Nostr signed apps. It's It's for as early as that project is, it's an incredibly clean UX. It basically, that's what it does. It says, this has been signed by this public key, this Nostr account. You follow this Nostr account, and these people that you follow also follow this Nostr account or whatever. And then you press install, and it does the check locally, and then you press install. Really fucking cool.
Shout out to Zap.store. Had the pleasure of meeting that team in Riga. Very important, underrated project. I think it'll be very well known in the years to come. We talked about this last week. Is this the same one? Bitcoin Core discloses 3 vulnerabilities affecting versions before.
No.
Version 12.
Wait, on the last one, by the way, just in our weekly Does This Break LND segment, if you update to the Bitcoin Core we just mentioned, you need to what do you need to do? You need to have a flag set so it doesn't break LND if you're using with LND.
Probably.
You have to suppress a breaking RPC change that prevents LND from starting up. Dash deprecated RPC equals warnings. So if you're running an LND node, make sure you do that.
Beware, freaks. Beware.
These just got disclosed with the new release. So this is part of their new program where they're going to disclose past vulnerabilities 3 versions earlier and have a like set process of doing it. So these vulnerabilities apply to anything under V25.
And they are in order. Oh, I opened up the wrong one. I opened up version V28. The 3 bugs are CVE-2024-35202. It's a high severity issue that allows attackers to crash Bitcoin Core nodes remotely by triggering an assertion in the block TXN message handling logic. The vulnerability was disclosed by Nicholas Gaggi and fixed in Bitcoin Core V25.0. Hindered block propagation due to mutated blocks, medium severity. It allows a peer to clear a block download state of other peers by sending unrequested mutated blocks. That was fixed as well. And then a denial of service due to INV to send sets growing too large. Another medium severity issue where excessively large MTX inventory to send sets could disrupt node communication by slowing inventory message construction. And I believe Gloria and a few other developers are doing ongoing podcasts about this. I think they released one today, if I remember correctly. I saw Gloria tweeting about it. I'll put this in the So the Brink team is doing a podcast on these bugs when they're finally disclosed. So Gloria, Nicholas, and B10C discuss these vulnerabilities on the Brink podcast. If you guys want to go check that out to learn more about these particular vulnerabilities. Sending you to another podcast, but always make sure you come back and watch RHR too. I mean,
you finish this one first.
moving on, Robinhood partners with BitKey.
Yeah, I mean, I put this on the list because you shouldn't use Robinhood, but many people do. And I did eat crow when I originally said that Robinhood was never going to allow self-custody withdrawals. And I was pleasantly surprised when they did. And I think this is a big step forward for Robinhood users. So if you're using a BitKey, which, you know, BitKey makes very specific trade-offs, but I think it's a great option for new, less technically inclined Bitcoiners. For instance, like BitKey is the first time I could ever hand my dad a device and just be like, you just follow the steps and set it up yourself. You want to talk about a mobile coordinator of a multisig, it's the BitKey app plus the hardware device. But historically in the BitKey app, you had 2 options to buy. You could buy through Cash App or Coinbase. Obviously BitKey is a project by Block, and so is Cash App. So it makes sense that Cash App's there, but I think it's important for them has been important for them to add more partners. So they've added Robinhood. So now in the BitKey app, you actually don't have to leave the BitKey app. If you already have a Robinhood account, you can just buy Bitcoin directly to your multi-sig. UX-wise, that's very easy and accessible to people, and has a pretty good security balance, security trade-off balance, I think. So I think it's a big deal. And shout out to both teams for making that happen.
Yeah, BitKey makes Bitcoin easy to use, hard to lose. They are sponsors of TFTC. Use the code TFTC20 at BitKey.world if you want to get 20% off.
They're not Rabbit Hole Recap sponsors, so just keep in mind that that money only goes to Marty.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you guys. No, but honestly, like, it's a great top of funnel if you have family and friends who are on the exchanges and they're worried about it. Like, this is, as Matt said, like the easiest. All right, take your first step, get a BitKey, get off the exchange, please.
Yeah, I think you don't compare it to Cold Card. You compare it to someone keeping their Bitcoin on Robinhood, and it's significantly better. And yeah, they make it like you have to try to lose your Bitcoin. They make it very difficult for you to foot gun yourself and lose your Bitcoin, which, let's be honest, for the overwhelming majority of people, that is effect is the way you're way more likely to lose Bitcoin than theft.
And obviously disclose the privacy trade-offs, like
it's horrible for privacy. I'm probably gonna get shit on for that, but whatever, there's nuance there, but you don't use it. It's, once again, I mean, it's strictly better for privacy than if you custodied on Cash App or Robinhood. You have no privacy there.
But compared to like Cold Card, trading private public key pairs, air gapped, trade offs. I mean, prefer UX trade offs, privacy trade offs.
I'm not going to go into all the nuances of it. The nice thing is they don't use, like, the node is, I believe, hosted by Mempool. So that aspect, you're trusting Wiz with your privacy. He promises me he doesn't log. I believe him. But there is privacy exposure on their co-signing service, right? So they're holding, the app holds one key. Now we're getting into the nuances of BitKey. The app holds one key. The hardware holds one key. You have the hardware. You have the app. And then they have a server key. And that server key, there's a privacy compromise, I believe, on the server key side. But once again, strictly better than if you're just like holding it on a, on an exchange, full KYC exchange. I think it's a great stepping stone. It looks like a stepping stone. So it fits the metaphor really well. The hardware feels amazing in the hand. Like, it feels really good. I don't recommend it if you have weak wrists because it's quite heavy. But I like the BitKey. I've recommended it to people that I've never been able to recommend a hardware wallet to before, or I've recommended them a Cold Card and it's just like kind of sat there and then they just keep it on Coinbase.
Yeah. Check it out. Or tell your friends and family to check it out if they're still on the exchanges. Next up, this was cool to see. Logan, disregard the tweet I put in there because I can see the graph that I want to pull up is midway down this page, but Round Robin Cashew. So this is a creative way to sort of audit.
Did you see this before I put it on the list?
Yeah, I did. I was looking into it earlier today. It's really cool.
Fucking cool.
Yeah. So Callie explains it in the tweet.
We explained that on Noster as well. That's where I saw it, just to be clear.
So Cashew Mint Round Robin Auditor perpetually monitors a list of mints sending random lightning payments between them forever.
You don't have to read it verbatim. Just explain to the freaks how it works.
They're basically sending sats between mints that opt into this to make sure that they have it. So if a mint fails to pay an invoice, it's marked with a scary warning. Yeah. And it's sort of like a roundabout proof of, like, you don't have like full proof of reserves, but you know.
It's proof of withdrawals. It's basically like proof of withdrawals. And so if you want a mint that you're using to be part of this process, you donate eCash to the project. And then basically this eCash is being sent around in a random fashion, but at the end of the day, a circular fashion that's going through all the mints. And then when payments fail, it gets flagged on the website that the withdrawal failed on this mint. So it's not perfect, but it's very pragmatic. And I think it's a cool, clever way of keeping mints at least a little bit more honest. Obviously, a mint can be processing withdrawals, even if it's a Ponzi, for a while. I mean, we saw that with FTX, which was obviously not a Charming eCash mint, but it was a custodial Ponzi. But this is better than nothing. And I think it's a very clever way of keeping them at least a little bit more honest.
Yeah. From what I can tell, there's nothing the mints can do to prevent users from ensuring that they're doing these checks on the individual mints, right?
No, they're just regular payments, payments between mints. And my understanding is that it is random. So it's not like they can just be like whitelisting. Yeah. So one of the things like ISPs do, for instance, is they throttle you everywhere you go, except when you go to the speed test website. So like, it looks like your speed test is good, but like your internet sucks everywhere else. So this is designed so you can't do that. And actually, one little fact on the speed test thing, one of the reasons why I like to recommend fast.com as a speed test choice is because it actually uses Netflix's servers. It's provided by Netflix. So like the ISP is super clever. The ISP would have to throttle Netflix, would have to whitelist. They can throttle Netflix and show you a good speed on fast.com. But like on like speed, one of the big ones, like what is like speedtest.net or whatever, or like Speed of Me or any of the homegrown ISP ones, like the ISPs have their own speed test thing. They almost always like give you the best connection for that, but then they throttle you everywhere else. But anyway, this is designed to try and prevent that. And I mean, huge shout out to Callie. He's got his big conference in Berlin that's ongoing, I think right now or this weekend.
It's BTC++, right?
Yeah, BTC++ eCash, right? So, I mean, I assume like him and Nifty were the main coordinators for that. And it's hard to run an event. So he got this shipped while that was happening. So that's pretty cool. Also, shout out to Yellow for joining us in the Nostr comments. If you want to join us in the Nostr comments, it's rhr.tv/stream. That's where the ride or dies dwell. And he says, Matt and Marty at this point are just a slightly cleverer version of Jay and Silent Bob, which I take as a massive compliment. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you, Yellow. I see Bitcoin Journey. Any presentations worth watching at Bitcoin Amsterdam? I did get to catch Turdemeesters. That was pretty good. Just a good speech.
Yeah, I didn't watch. Bullish. I watched a little bit of Jack Mallers and Dylan, which is a fun fireside chat. But yeah, everything, all of that's on YouTube if you want to go watch it. I'm a little bit burnt out. Yeah.
Same. I will say one note at the Bitcoin Amsterdam conference, production quality, top notch. I mean, they have like,
it's a really cool venue. Yeah, I was there. Oh, the circle thing that they do is cool. I was there for the first year. And so they partner with the Bitcoin Magazine partners with like a local Amsterdam events company. And that team is fucking fire. And also, did you see like they had, it's like the last 25 blocks are like huge TVs showing the breakdown of the last 25 blocks on the chain are circle the entire. It's like this big dome, like half dome theater in the middle of
amphitheater almost. Yeah.
But it's closed in. Is an amphitheater open always?
Or it's like a descending theater. I don't know what you would maybe.
I mean, it's like an amphitheater, right? Everyone's got a good view. There's even like if someone 7 foot sits in front of you, they can't block you.
Yeah.
As a short shout person, out to the, that matters to me.
Shout out to the production value there. Shout out to all the European Bitcoiners and freaks out there. Things are getting hot. I mean, Tur's been getting pretty, I don't want to say aggressive, but he's been pretty outspoken in terms of he's convinced that the EU is going to break up. I'm not sure if you saw it this week, but the Netherlands trying to levy an exit tax on the wealthy there. It seems like many of the governments within the EU are getting desperate. Not the exit tax. Trump said he's going to stop double taxing American citizens living abroad. Yeah, the exit tax is terrible here.
Trump is going to focus on one thing, and that's going to be enriching himself. But I believe we're gonna see it.
I was thinking about this. We do have, like, within 2 weeks, if he wins, there's no chaos, he gets what's it called? Inaugurated. What is it? Inaugurated. It's inaugurated. He's got 2 weeks to free Ross, and that's like the canary, the warrant canary. If that doesn't happen, it's like, all right, all bets off. Who knows what's going to happen? That's the timeline I'm using in my head.
He better fucking free Ross.
That's my warrant canary of, like, is he actually going to follow through? It's like,
he said he would.
Day one.
He said day one. That would just... Okay, they always say everything is day one. It's like the longest day of the year, day one. But
putting it out there, heuristically, that's what I'm looking for.
I think he probably will. I think he probably will, but he better fucking do it, because Ross is sitting there expecting it at this point.
Did you see Ross's tweet today? It's like, God damn, man.
No, I didn't. What did the tweet say?
It was like, I got extended time outside of my cell today. I was able to make a couple phone calls and say hi to some of my friends in the cell block. It's not fun having to sit in an 8x10 room your whole life. So he's literally like in a box, just it's in a cage.
I mean, the reason I think he'll free Ross is because he got a lot of money from Bitcoiners and a lot of support, and from shitcoiners who have also rallied around the Ross as a agenda item. And second of all, it's a relatively easy thing from his side to do. And he's not pardoning him. Like, the promise is to commute his sentence. So it's time served. He's still guilty, which, you know, politics wise and rhetoric and narrative wise is an easier pill to swallow for the people that might be against it within his supporters.
Yeah.
It's like a tangible, easy thing to do rather than, like, I don't know, like, pay off the debt or reform our tax structure. Like, I don't expect either of those things to happen.
Definitely not paying off the debt. Definitely not paying off the debt. Maybe the tax stuff will come. We'll see. You know, we're not a politics podcast. We're a Bitcoin podcast. Not only that, we like to talk about freedom tech and how it affects human rights activists throughout the world, which is a great segue into the Human Rights Foundation story of the week. Great story, or just great highlight this week, freedom of the press. I'm not sure if you freaks saw it, but last week, Julian Assange made his first public remarks since his prison release. So WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange made his first public remarks since his prison release in June, following a deal with the United States, speaking before the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, also known as PACE. Assange declared, "I'm not free today because the system worked. I'm free today after years of incarceration because I pled guilty to journalism." He warned that criminalizing news gathering threatens journalism and reveals the weaknesses of existing safeguards, which negatively impact human rights. Assange also recalled how governments pressured banks to block WikiLeaks' accounts and subscriptions without due process, demonstrating how states weaponize financial systems to silence whistleblowers even beyond their borders. There are 5.7 billion people today who live under authoritarian regimes without financial and political freedom. And the Assange case is a good reminder that individuals need to stay vigilant to keep freedom alive, even in democratic societies. If you want to hear more stories like this one, the Human Rights Foundation has an incredible newsletter that you can sign up for at financialfreedomreport.org. That's financialfreedomreport.org. And hand up, we're just giving Trump props. I'm not sure if you watched that press conference he had, but he went in pretty hard against the former Trump administration, and particularly how there was some people within his administration who openly tried to assassinate him. Not good.
Yeah. And then, like, what the European Parliament gave him, like, an award or something, which is like great, guys. Bullshit. Like, you did fucking nothing when he needed you. But he's a class act, and he seemed to accept it with grace. Look, I'm really glad he's freed. If he was my friend, I would be like, don't just in like, enjoy your family. You've done enough. But he's clearly a man that has incredible motivation and incredible willpower and can't help himself and will just continue to push forward. So I respect that. And in that vein, it was great to see him out there speaking quite strongly. It was an indictment basically on very powerful people right after he spent, how long was it? Was it a decade? I think I overestimated how long he was in jail for last time and I got corrected.
He was in jail for like 5 years, but he was essentially, the Ecuadorian embassy. He was there for like 3 years before that.
They ruined his fucking life and then he's out there still speaking against them. So power to him on that. Lots of respect.
I mean, he doesn't have the benefit of disguise, but I could see like a Count of Monte Cristo storyline here with him. Just getting
Why doesn't he have the benefit of disguise?
Because everybody knows who he is. He hasn't changed his look. That was like the whole thing. And Count of Monte Cristo went to jail and came out looking completely different.
True. We have the technology.
Yeah. We could. Maybe. Julian, think about dyeing your hair and growing your beard out and going full Monte Cristo on everybody. Ba, 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 bum. All right. On to software updates, but before we get there, we will read the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap. Last week, my cousin's got a setup here. He's got three fucking screens.
You have three screens, Mike.
All right, here we go. Top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap. 325 Bitcoin God Candle. God Candles hasn't showed up yet, but the boost
did. That's a good name.
top boost from last week came in from the Bitcoin Yogi, 61,116 sats. Palindrome boost. Join us in Hutto, Texas on October 26th for the first ever Satoshi Trail Run for HAL. Celebrate 16 years for the release of the Bitcoin White Paper with the Greater Austin Area Bitcoin Community. A family-friendly event. Enjoy some post-race meets. Local Bitcoin market, live music, and your boy Marty will be there speaking too. That's me. The event is benefiting the ALS Network's Hal Finney ALS/MND Research Fund in partnership with the Running Bitcoin Challenge. Go to Tejas, that's TEJAS trails.com/Satoshi to get your tickets. 10% discount if paid in Bitcoin.
Nice.
Check it out. It's going to be a great event. October 26th, that's a Saturday. I don't think I've told John this yet, but I'm not going to be running. I'm not a big runner anymore.
What?
I don't have any ligaments in my left knee. Running is just not good for my body. My hips particularly. No, I'm not kidding.
Breaking news. So what are you going to be doing? Is that your participant? You're just going to speak. You're just going to give like a motivational speech and then be like, now run.
No. They're running. And then I'm going to be out there like, hey,
guys, are you going to speak to them while they're running? They're going to run past you while they're speaking.
They each get like a dedicated set of headphones that they put in their ears while they're running. It's just me talking while they're running, giving the motivational advice.
One more mile, guys. One more mile. You got this.
Did you ever run track?
No.
That was like, I hated running track. And that was like, that's one of the many sayings you hear because running's so fucking boring.
Were you on like a track team? Or were you mean like running track?
In like middle school, I ran a pretty good 800. I ran like a sub 2 minute 800.
Like I've run around a track many times. I was just not on the fucking track team.
Yeah,
my wife.
It was always the faster you run, the sooner you'll be done. It's like whenever I'm running, I'm just like, just get it done.
I mean, I'm much more. I like running through things rather than like around a track. Like it gets. To me, it's like repetitive.
Yeah, even like running like through like a lake trail or something. No.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Running through things.
Another pet peeve of mine, like people that can run and talk. Like when I see people running and talking, I'm like, I don't know how do they do that. Like I don't run that much anymore. I'm a big weightlifter, but just lift heavy things and do some HIIT workouts, but. Like when I do find myself running in a group and people try to talk to me, I'm like, please don't talk to me. I'm running. I can't talk to you.
You should do the water. McCoy is saying you should do the water stations while they're running.
Yeah.
Like be the guy who holds out the water.
I'm perfect for that. We'll get salt of the earth, electrolytes. I'll be dumping them in like here. Salt out.
Perfect.
Next, Eric 99, 50,000 sats.
Great
next
advice.
Next Minneapolis, Minnesota meetup is October 30th. Heather Shaughnessy Distillery. So that is 20 days from today. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice.
Our boy, OK Sharp.
You still haven't been to the Minneapolis meetup, right?
No, neither of us have. We get
we need to make it. I hear that distillery is awesome, and they got a great crew up there. We'll make it happen this cycle. This cycle, it's going to happen.
I met the distiller in New York when I was there for Trump.
Well, like the main guy.
The guy who makes the whiskey. Very, very solid action.
Is he a Bitcoiner? Okay, sure.
We're working on it. I think he was pretty well convinced at PubKey. He was getting the full court press.
Nice.
Shout out to Keeper's Heart.
Great whiskey.
The whiskey.
It's affordable too.
It is.
It's a really good bang for your buck.
At OK Sharp, 33,333 sats, threes across the board, palindrome boost. Only two more weeks, and we'll see the freaks for Plan A, TabConf, the Atlanta Bitcoin Conference, October 23rd to the 26th. Go to www.tabconf.com. High signal, low stress, peace and love. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice, great conference. Y'all should go.
Yes. Last but not
least. You're not going, right, Marty?
I cannot. I fortunately have a conflicting obligation that is preventing me from making it there.
Yeah, likewise. I don't think either of us will be there, but you freaks should go. It's great.
Yes. Shout out to you, Michael Tidwell. At 8 Mithrandir, 7,777 sats, sevens across the board, palindrome boost. Bitcoin Bugle has the best takes on Swan. Do you care to respond to this?
Is this from Bitcoin Bugle?
No, I mean, bless 8 Mithrandir is a closet Bitcoin Bugle guy.
It's 8 Mithrandir?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge Bitcoin Bugle supporter. I think they have some of the best news in the space.
I mean, if we're – in all honesty, like, I think if you want to look at, like, cutting edge, like, leveraging of AI, I don't think anybody does it better than the Bitcoin Bugle.
So – I was like, they're on Richard Greaser is them, right?
Richard Greaser is one of the editors in chief at the Bitcoin Bugle. Yes.
Ron
Palmer.
I was going to switch to Wave Lake Tracks Only as my outro music for Citadel Dispatch. And I was like, okay, I'll just use the top track on Wave Lake every week as my like outro track. And like the top one is like just AI Bitcoin Bugle, like AI woman fucking music about like how like they ruined the world when they banned tobacco and shit. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to use Wave Lake music. You got to respect the hustle. They have like the podcast too. Are they AI generated their podcast?
No. They do mock interviews. Yeah. They'll never admit it. They are actual interviews. But
have you listened to this Wave Lake?
I have not yet.
Can we play the track? But can we play Logan, a little bit of the track, Logan? It's number one on Wave Lake. They pretend they're a woman.
Well, Logan, why? Like to finish the thought. Like honestly, like
ridiculous.
Looking for it.
They're I see the ones.
Logan has the best mic. Just comes in. He should host the show.
What's up, freaks?
You're not allowed to speak. You make a sound worse. I don't know. I mean, it's right here. Number one on trending.
Do you see it, Logan?
What, typical politician?
No.
Really?
Oh yeah, typical politician. That's it. Okay.
Typical politician. I muted it.
Wake up, hungover from Low and Hookers the night before.
But just stop it. I don't want. I care about the freaks too much.
Oh, Girls on Spaces? Is that, check out Girls on Spaces. It's the next one ever.
They just like dominate the fucking, oh, maybe it was typical. Maybe it was Typical Politician. I thought it was a different one. Days at Number One. No, it was Flying Cars. It was Flying Cars by Greaser. But
all right, let's get it on. We come this far. We got Flying Cars.
I just feel like we need to get Wave Lake Pat.
We could have flying cars, but we got swindled. We would have lived in the future.
There you go. There's your tease.
I was digging that. I was digging that.
Wavelake.com if you want to listen to Richard Greaser's elite tracks.
Go check them out. Shout out to you freaks for all the boosts from last week's episode. Shout out to everybody participating in the Zap.stream live chat. We'll even give like a light shout out to the YouTube chat. Thank you for joining us, even though you're in the lesser of the two chats. We appreciate the support. Give us a like, a subscribe, maybe a rating or a review wherever you listen. Let everybody out there know what's going on here. And with that being said, we are on to the software update section of the show, beginning with BitKey app version 2024.70.0, which renames mobile pay to transfer without hardware and removes its daily limits. AlbiGo version 1.6.2 has fixes to the white screen of death issue that they've been experiencing. Phoenix Android version 2.3.11 has been released with latest bug fixes and addressing several crashes and connections issues. Stack Duo version 1.2.3, which includes tweaks and changes for Frost implementation and connection to Electrum X, thus enhancing the app stability. It's good to see. Coracle version 0.4.12 is released with small bug fixes for the Nostr web and Android client, with custom feeds and Web of Trust content recommendations. It's good to see custom feeds, Web of Trust growing. Custom feeds are going to be a killer app on Nostr. No more For You on X, which just feeds you murder videos and trash. You can filter your feeds on Nostr. Relay Wizard version 0.3.0 alpha.
Okay, or you could just use X, where that's all the algo feeds you.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Got it. Continue.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
I apologize. Continue with
Relay Wizard version 0.3.0 alpha 3 adds support for Nostr RS Relay, mass private key input, improves error log styling, and more. That's it for software update.
I where my head was, by the way, is like I realized just how retarded people are because of the Bitcoin Bugle. Like, not because the Bitcoin Bugle, is some of the smartest people in Bitcoin, the guys behind it. But they
get people.
Our community is filled with retards. We have so many dumb fucking people in this community. They had an article that came out like a year and a half ago or something, like in the depths of the bear market. That was like Odell caught in Dubai, like with a private yacht and private jet, and like a bunch of hookers and shit. And there's still people to this day was like, oh, I read an article. That guy's like a complete hypocrite. He says stable stack sats. And just got like, he's just like surrounded
in Dubai,
surrounds himself with ladies in Dubai. They just read it.
You remember the one? Apparently, I was quitting RHR to start a weekly show at Whitney Webb a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they had one last week that was that were investing in a Waymo competitor, self-driving cars that force you to listen to Bitcoin podcasts.
It's actually a good business idea. We should think about it.
No, fucks up. I'm towards self-driving cars.
The Waymo stuff, they're really picking up.
Short them. I'm ethically and morally short them because what they're gonna do is tax to fucking shit anyone who doesn't want a self-driving like surveillance car. They're gonna make insurance cost a shit ton. Like they're going to make it, they're going to essentially criminalize anyone who's not using a self-driving car.
Well, on that note,
rich people will just spend a shit ton of money to do it, but the average person is just going to get fucked.
Matthew, you just connected a couple of dots in my head because I have been noticing, and I'm just about to mention, in Austin, the amount of Waymo traffic that is picked up in the city is pretty remarkable. Like I feel like I can't go 1 5-minute drive in the city without seeing at least one Waymo. I saw at least 3 or 4 on the ride home yesterday. And to your point about car insurance, I'm not sure if you saw a little macro talk there, just a little macro talk. It's very pertinent to the discussion we're having right now. Inflation was hotter than expected today, predominantly driven by car insurance premiums, which are up 56% year on year.
If you remember what they did during COVID, like that was one of the main tactics that was used, right? It was liability and insurance that was used in terms of closing down small businesses. And it will be used as a tactic, and it's been used as a tactic for like seatbelts, airbags, all those sorts of things. They will use it as a tactic for self-driving cars. And I mean, of course, Austin's leading the way. Like one of our favorite self-driving car influencers lives over there, Sahil.
Sahil is a big Waymo stan. It's bad. It's bad.
Well, we have Easy from No Bullshit Bitcoin with breaking news in the comments. Phoenix just had a major LSP update today, and they have an open protocol for their LSP spec, it appears. And he linked to it in the Nostr live chat.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Thank you for keeping us informed, Easy.
Thank you, Easy. Go tip No Bullshit Bitcoin if you're listening now. A lot of the content on this show.
No BS Bitcoin. Allows me to focus on my family, but still have a solid grasp of what's going on in Bitcoin without a Twitter account.
Yeah. Logan, pull up the last tweet from Zero Hedge I put in there. I misspoke. It wasn't 56% year on year. It's 56% under the Biden administration. But I think just to look at this chart. It would be, I think you're onto something there. You're just going to jack up insurance and say maybe goes up 100%. Even more.
I'm quite confident on that one.
Goes up even more from here. It's like, oh, you want 2019 levels of car insurance, auto insurance. You're going to have to do a self-driving car. We can't trust you.
Yeah, or not even own a car, right? You just have to use, you know, Uber or whatever, self-driving cars or whatever Tesla comes out with. And just you can't afford to have a car. You just have to use an app that will just track everywhere you go.
Frequent reminder to go watch my
Biden. I hate Biden as much as the next guy, but like Trump printed a shit ton of fucking money right before that. Sure. Right before that line went up, he like literally mailed everyone checks, and we went and bought Bitcoin with them.
We did.
You can get direct deposited into Cash App and then just immediately convert them to sats.
But I think it's pretty clear that Biden extended the stimulus way longer than it needed to be. Both culpable. And Trump, I mean, the balance sheet expanded by $600 trillion in 3 months under Trump. So. Next up, this was insane, almost comical. It is comical. Chinese hackers breached the U.S. court wiretap system.
These are like the wiretaps that like are installed at like AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile and shit, so that our government can spy on us. And China got access to those back doors to spy on all of us themselves, which is a concept and a concern that we've discussed on the show for like 6 years now, which is there's no such thing as a secure backdoor, and our insane surveillance regime against U.S. citizens is a massive national security risk for the entire country, and that if politicians actually cared about protecting this country and protecting its citizens and our cumulative interests, the goal should be incredibly strong privacy guarantees for everyone across the board.
Yeah. Comical. Like Chinese hacker didn't hack the system. They just walked into the back door that the US government forces these companies to have.
And shout out to Wall Street Journal, who broke the story that they're the exclusive, but also kind of played yourself because you put it behind a paywall. So I linked to the Reuters article about the article.
Some more information on this. The hackers might have held access for months to network infrastructure used by the companies to cooperate with court-authorized U.S. requests for communications data. They said the hackers had also accessed other tranches of internet traffic. So Chinese foreign ministry responded on Sunday that it was not aware of the attack, describing the report, but said that the United States had concocted a false narrative to frame China. Wouldn't put it past them. At a time when cybersecurity has become...
No, China fucking did this.
I know, China's definitely in there. But like, that's the thing. Like, you can't trust any of these people.
This is the only time in history where, like, legit China could just straight up, our adversaries could straight up just do a massive attack on us. The president of China could literally just come out and be like, we did a massive attack on you. And like half the country would be like, you know, it could have been us. Like, I don't know if I'm going to take him at his word. It was probably the US government who did it. It's a crazy phenomenon.
Well, the U.S. government's not doing itself any favors. You see the story coming out about this ISIS member from Afghanistan who was plotting Election Day terrorist attacks in Oklahoma. And it became apparent today that this guy was a CIA asset in Afghanistan while we were over there. Like,
I mean, that doesn't surprise me if it's true. It was not on my radar because dude, you'd live such a more calm, peaceful life if you just didn't pay attention to what the algo feeds you. But
I'm cool, calm, and collected, baby. Right. Look at this. I'm chilling.
In this particular case, Marty, like, the U.S. government is heavily implicated in this story, too. Like, it's their fucking back doors that were – it's not even like they're it's not just a purely anti-China article. It's like U.S. government foot guns itself. China takes advantage of them.
Yeah, agreed.
Mandible than Bitcoin standard.
Agreed. Next up on the list, Elon bent the knee to Brazil. Brazil has lifted the ban on X after Elon complies with court orders. X is coming back online in Brazil after a months-long standoff between the company and the country's federal Supreme Court minister, Alexandre de Moraes. The service was suspended in Brazil on August 31st after an order from de Moraes that was upheld by a panel of other justices. The suspension was put in place because Musk defied requests by Brazil's court to ban some user accounts, remove content that the court said violated federal laws. So it seems like they deleted that content and kicked those people off.
He complied with everything. He paid the $5 million fine. It's coming back in Brazil. I would like the record to show that I didn't editorialize the headline. Marty put bent the knee in there. In the show notes, I have a link to a presentation that I did. It's less than 10 minutes about why Nostr matters. I did it at the Gold Bitcoin Summit. That was hosted at Bitcoin Park. It's a Human Rights Foundation event. We had people from 60 plus countries join us. We talked about it last week. But I mentioned in this presentation, like, the reason, one of the reasons I pick on Elon so much is because out of all of the tech CEOs that control these centralized platforms, he is the most outspoken and, you know, pushing the limit on free speech. They're all the rest are way worse in terms of free speech, which is what makes him such a key example of why, if you have a centralized point of failure, it will be pressured and will fall. Now, where Elon is incredibly dangerous is that he holds himself up as this massive defender of free speech. And there's a ton of people that are like, Elon's just going to protect us. He's the best. Like, we don't have to do anything ourselves. And he gives you a false sense of security. And this Brazil situation is a perfect example of that. Like, he played a very big face. There's a ton of people that are going to go to sleep tonight. They're like, oh, that Brazil thing, like, Elon protected the Brazilians. Like, he was so great. Like, he did it all. And then at the end of the day, he just fucking complied with everything anyway.
Beware. Beware.
Like, no one thinks, like, no one's like goes to sleep at night. They're like, oh, but LinkedIn's going to like protect my family's freedom. But they go to sleep at night. They're like, oh, Elon's going to do it. I don't have to do it. And it creates this false sense of security that is more dangerous than the lack of it in the first place.
Yeah. You have to use systems and protocols that cannot be censored. Do not have an Elon Musk at the helm of them. Noster is one of them. And we have a link to that presentation in the show notes, as well as
the it's less than 10 minutes Bitcoin Park recap. Consider watching it if you haven't, if for some reason my constant broken recordness hasn't pushed you over the edge and you haven't tried it yet. But even if you have, I think it can be helpful for people that have played with it. It goes through like a brief tech 101 and then why it matters in practice.
Yeah, then on top of that, if you want to see a 2024 Global Bitcoin Summit recap, we have a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, we're not playing that, but the HRF video team just does such a good job that I felt like it needed to be in the show notes.
Yeah.
But we're not going to play that.
And I do have to get to my mother, my brother, and my sister. But we'll remind you, freaks, that we have a link to the Bitcoin Veterans.
You should really page. Every sat counts. Any little bit that you send makes a big difference. Those guys are doing great work on the ground right now. And also, I mean, they're looking for any kind of local support. So like if you're in the surrounding areas and you are able to help out in any kind of way, you should definitely reach out to them. At the end of the day, it's people coming together that make a real difference.
Yeah,
I have one last.
Sure, if you're seeing this,
yeah, go on.
Well, I was gonna say, if you're not seeing this in the Zap.stream comments, Map21 saying you do more of these 10 minute presentations, very easy to send to people.
Yeah, I'm gonna do more of them. I've said that in the past. I'm gonna hold me to it, Mav. Thank you. You zapped a lot this episode, so I'm gonna hold myself to it. I think they could be quite useful. I know I'm a broken record. I'm just kind of curious. I'm kind of curious on your opinion on this. Yep. Elon using the America handle and basically the entire platform to throw his support behind a presidential candidate a month before the election.
The America thing came out of nowhere. But I noticed it had like a yellow check.
Someone had the handle to begin with, but he either took the handle or bought the handle. He took some other guy's handle that was at Music, and he offered him Music Fan. But so he might have taken the handle. But his super PAC now has it, and they're like tweeting from the at America handle, and he's retweeting it, and he's offering $47 to anyone who like refers people to vote. To me, look, under Jack, Facebook, under Jack was Twitter, right? Jack Dorsey, Facebook, like it was very obvious that there was a Democratic Party lean to those platforms and their censorship regimes and like how their algos worked and whatnot. The Overton window, though, has incredibly shifted now. Like this is a whole different fucking level. And it is the richest person in the United States, the richest person in the world, owns a platform that's incredibly influential, claims to have, 500 million daily active users. There's no way to verify that, but claims to have half a billion daily active users. And he's throwing his full weight behind a single presidential candidate in a massive, massive, massive way, including using the @America handle. And I, when you, I just, it should be like, I, I, once again, broken record, but I think Nostra's more needed than it ever was. But it should be crazy to see how this plays out. Like, I mean, if you look at it, like if Trump wins, does Elon get a place in the regime? Like, does this become like the party's platform? Is this now truly what he wanted? The WeChat of the West? Like, is it WeChat to CCP is X to Republican Party and Trump? And then if he loses, like the censorship is obviously going to increase across the board under a Harris regime. So, I mean, the Overton window, like this is a whole nother fucking level. And I feel like we just kind of sleepwalked into it.
It's a brave new world. So I guess I would harken back to a comment which Elon has said in the past, which is, and again, just not trying to defend him, just walking through what I believe is happening, which is like, I want X to be an open platform where anybody can talk, including Republican, Democrat, like anybody can put their speech out there and say what they want to say. And it's obvious that he is backing Trump explicitly at the Butler rally on Sunday, came on stage with him and is putting his weight. And it is existential for him. I mean, I can't, like, there's like two things. It's existential threat, like you said. If Harris wins, like inflation is going, or excuse me, censorship is going to increase, and they're definitely going to attack Elon. And then he's got a personal vendetta. I mean, the Biden administration didn't invite him to the electric vehicle summit that they held when Tesla has the most EVs out on the market. I don't think EVs are smart, but that's just like objectively true. The FAA has stymied Starlink from basically doing what it wants to do, and it's favoring others. And then you have the whole Delaware Supreme Court really coming after his stock option. So like the government at different layers has been weaponized directly in the case of the Delaware Supreme Court taking away his options that many would argue he rightly earned, and then implicitly by negging him in terms of Tesla and SpaceX. And so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that he's doing this. Does it open a slippery slope? Definitely could. And it's obvious that he's going to have some position in the Trump administration if he gets in. That's been explicitly stated by both him and Donald Trump. And I'm biased. Like, individually, I'm like, I think this is existential too. Like, I think Kamala Harris is an overt communist. Like, her "we're not going backwards, we're moving forward" is literally word for word a communist trope that has been popularized by the Communist Party in the United States. Like, she's communist undertones. Obviously, the Biden administration's posturing towards our industry and what we do here at Rabbit Hole Recap, and particularly at 1031, there's high stakes involved there. So yeah, it definitely is a slippery slope. And I would completely agree. Like, Nostra is desperately needed more than ever. We've talked about this. Jack Dorsey said this at Nostriga. Like, you want it to get to a point where you're just leveraging a protocol where nobody can control it. And hopefully Elon recognizes that at some point in the future. Like, you don't want that pressure on you with this big platform. Is it insane? Yes, it is insane. But is it surprising or do I blame him? No. It's like the incentives of the system, the political system and the communication system combined just inevitably created the situation. Yeah, I guess that's my take. Definitely a slippery slope. Doesn't surprise me at all. It seems like this is where the incentives like naturally lead with him owning X and the government posturing this way. It's like a big FU. Like,
I mean, the Delaware ruling was incredibly fucked up. And I think we talked about it when it happened. I think he ended up getting the options though, right? The shareholders revoted and gave it to him.
I don't think it's been settled. I don't think it's been settled yet. Yeah.
But yeah, that was incredibly fucked up, and I would resent them for that as well. I think on the good side here, right, it looks like Trump will likely win this election. And I think my longstanding belief that regardless of your U.S. political affiliation, you are pro-censorship against the people you disagree with will be very exposed, because this is the first time that there's a major platform that will be on the Republican side. And a lot of the people that said that they were anti-censorship while it was Democratic leaning will be pro-censorship under that regime. We will see the hypocrisy in full form. And this is why you need neutral protocols like Bitcoin and Noster, because people are, first of all, inherently hypocritical, myself included. I mean, the key is to try and be as not hypocritical as possible. And they're inherently corruptible and greedy. And so, I think we're going to see that play out in real time.
Agree. No, and that's the thing to watch out. Like, and we've talked about this many times in the past. I mean, I think we first started talking about this, with executive orders. Like, started under Obama, Trump leveraged them during his, administration. It's been continued with Biden. It's the same slippery slope. You use them when your party's in power and neglect to acknowledge the fact that they will be used against you when the other party gets into power. And I mean, I will say, like, it's definitely in the realm of possibility that X will be weaponized against the left in the future. Being the optimistic, hopeful person I am, I hope that Elon is wise enough to recognize that he's falling into the trap of just the back and forth shit slinging. And I think up until this point, I don't think there has been any overt censorship of opposing political views on the platform. But that could certainly change. And completely, I think we're in agreement here. Noster, protocols like Noster, significantly way better than having somebody run a central company like X.
Logan, can you play this clip that I sent in the... Did you see this clip?
No.
The most important election in the history of our country.
There are just 8 days left in what is the most important election of our lifetime.
I truly believe this is the most important election of our lifetime.
This election is the most important election in our lifetimes, no matter what generation you come from.
2008 is the most important election in our lifetime.
This is the most important election you've ever voted in your entire life.
Americans, this is the most important election of our lifetime.
All these choices make this one of the most important elections in our history.
In what will be, I am convinced, one of the most important elections we're likely to see for the next 50 years.
1996, in my opinion, is going to be the most important election of our lifetimes.
Is the single most
important. They go all the way to 1976.
Yeah. And I've always called, I've always called bullshit on this, but this one feels like, as it pertains to freedom and
this was different. This was the most important election of our lifetime.
I'm falling into the trap. Stay humble, stacks hats, and build freedom tech.